Bhajan Rahasyam by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, discussing Panchamayam Sadhana, which is chapter 5, which is a discussion of how to do Nam Bhajan, or chanting the holy name of the Lord, on the level of asakti and devotion, which is quite a high level of achievement. Anartha Nivritti Nishta Ruchi, then asakti. Then bhava, then prema. So at the level of asakti, one actually gets a glimmer of an understanding of his stahibhav, of his eternal loving relationship with the Lord, becomes manifested to him in a general way. Not a general way, but in a specific way, that he becomes inclined towards a particular feature and form of the Lord. There is Vrindavan Krishna, there's Mathuranath and Dwarkanath, and being in the line of Lord Chaitanya, generally, we become inclined towards or attracted to Vrindavannath, Radhanath, the Lord of Vrindavan, Vrijendra Nandan Shamasundara, Aradhya Bhagavan, Aradhya Bhagavan Vrijeshitanios, Sridham Vrindavanam. Srinath Chakravarti Thakur explains the Sambandha Videya and Prayojan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Gaudiya Vedanta in this shloka, Aradhya Bhagavan Vrijeshitanios, Sridham Vrindavanam. That our Aradhya Dev, or the Ishtadev of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, is none other than Brijendra Nandan Krishna. We offer respects to Ram and Narayan, Nisringa and Vishnu, but our Ishtadev is one and one alone, Sri Krishna of Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna. So, at the level of asakti, one may have the inclination, inspiration, and desire to worship Radha and Krishna in a very personal way, a very intimate way. And he should hanker by this time, to follow particular residents of Vrindavan, the Brajajana. Braja Loka Anusarata. It says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Braja Loka Anusarata means Anusara, you have Anukaran and Anusaran. Anusarata means to follow in the footsteps of a resident, a loka, or a vasi. Follow in the footsteps of a resident of Vrindavan. Braja Loka Anusarata. And generally this will be one of the higher rasas, Sakhi Ras, Vatsali Ras, or Madhuri Ras. One will read the pastimes of Krishna Vrindavan and meet devotees that are worshipping Krishna Vrindavan, and see the Archamurtis representing the Lord in Vrindavan. He will see Krishna Balaram and Radha and Krishna and Mahaprabhu, of course. And by hearing these pastimes of Sridham and Subal and Yashoda and Nanda and Lita Vishaka and Radharani and the Gopis and Krishna, he may develop attraction to serve like them, to move with them, to associate with them, to follow them. And then he can begin his life of Raganuga Bhajan. In allegiance to, it's called Anogatya, it's called Rupanugadhara, to follow the current, to follow the line of the devotees and worshippers of Rupa Goswami and Rupa Manjari, Rupanugadhara. Dharga means the current, the river, the line of conception, the line of activity, the line of bhajan and sadhana bhajan, Raganuga sadhana bhajan, and specified bhajan. So, in a series of verses, in Bhajan Rahasyam, he's describing a very particular form of worship where one realizes that he wants to follow the servitors of Srimati Radharani. He wants to worship in what's called Radhadasyam, the service of Radharani, like Rupa Manjari, like Vratya Manjari, like most of the Acharyas in our Sampradaya. So in these group of verses, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing Kinkari Bhav. Ayinanda Tanusha Kinkaram. This is the fifth shloka of Shikshastakam, and this shloka represents the fifth level of bhajan, asakti. That's bhajan, asakti bhajan. So yesterday we were discussing the commentary on this verse about Radha bhajan, worshipping Radharani. The devotee is praying to Radharani. He's saying, "Oh, Srimati Radharani, when will my tongue be engaged in glorifying your name, chanting your name with love? Prem Gana. I will be singing your name with great love. And when will I When will my feet wander in the footpaths of Vrindavan and your Keli Vilas or Keli Kunjas? When will I wander along Prem Gali, Man Gali, Dan Gali? When will I wander along the banks of Yamuna, Yamuna Pulin, Dera Samir? When will I wander in Govardhan and Punchari, Rasastali? Or I'll wander in banks of Radhakund and Madanananda Kunj, in Alita's Kunj, or Vishaka's Kunj, or I will walk along Manasi, Manasapavan Ghat, and I will see your Charan Shina there. I will see the marks of your lotus feet there, left in the dust of Vrindavan. When will I attain the service of you in Vrindavan? So this was the prayer. And when will I, by your mercy, will I become fully attached to your service? This is my earnest prayer. So that's Prabodhananda Saraswati's prayer in Radharas Sudaniti, where he's giving some direction to those that are interested in worshipping Radharani. And in this discussion, we were yesterday reading about the dust of Radharani's feet. May my Ishwari's Vilas Leela be painted on the canvas of my heart. May the dust particles that have touched Radhika's lotus feet be the ornaments of my limbs. When we did Govardhan Parikrama on Sunday, that was yesterday, I suppose, and we usually, when we go by near the Rasastali, near Punchari, then we roll in the Braj Duli, and we all had that experience. So that Braj Duli, or Brajaraj, is Chintamani. It is touchstone. But it's not just touchstone, it's Prema Chintamani. It's Gopika Prema Chintamani. This dust of Vrindavan, especially the dust of Leelastali Raj, the place, the dust in the places where Radha and Krishna had their specific and unique Vilas pastimes, loving pastimes, it is surcharged with all of their emotions, their feelings, because those pastimes took place there, like Ras Leela or Banbihar, wandering in the forest, or dancing together under the full moonlight of the Sharad season, which was only a few nights ago. Ashwin Purnima is the Sharad season, Sharad Ritu, Ashwin Purnima, Purnamasi. And that night, Radha and Krishna, of course, they're dancing in Vamshivat side. That's the place of the Sharad Rasa dance, generally. And this Yamuna Pulin and Vamshivat, all this area. But in springtime, they're dancing in Govardhan. But they can dance wherever they want at any time. They're not fixed. They can dance here in the spring or there. But at any rate, this Brajaraj, it's full of the kasturi, the musk, the drops of musk which are dripping from their bodies when they're perspiring in the heat and the exhaustion and the heat of dancing. The musk designs on Radharani's forehead. She has designs of makari. There's makara. Makara and Makari, female dolphin, is like a fish, designed on her forehead. So her forehead, she starts to perspire, and the fatigue of rasa dancing, and then these designs of kasturi, they break away and drip off her forehead and mix in the ground. Then there's some kunkum powder, and there's chandan alepana on her limbs, and on Krishna's limbs there's chandan in vermilion, the saffron, and all these different, or we say keshar is saffron. All these particles and all these decorations, these unguents, oils and powders, they fall off their bodies. And where do they go? They go into the raj, they go into the dirt. And these are all transcendental things. They're not temporary things, they're transcendental. And they mix up in this brajaraj. So all the great devotees, they come here and they roll in the dust. They worship this dust. They pray to this dust. They carry this dust on their head. They carry around their necks in this, what they call this bija, this tarbija or something. They wear these little canisters around their neck. It's called tarbij. Tabij. No R. It's called tabij. It's some law, we say amulet. Amulet. We say amulet. They have a small silver little box around their neck, and inside there's Brajaraj. This is the Rasika Vaishnavas. or the Raganuga sadhanas. Those that are operating on fear, they carry Nisringa Kavacha. Those that have no, that do not realize the name and anami. Because binatvam nami namano, there is no difference between a name and that which is named. Binatvam nami namano. So there's no need, because I sometimes ask devotees, I say, did Prahlad Maharaj wear a Nisringa Kavacha? And the answer is no. Then how was Prahlad protected? Because he was always doing smaran. He attained perfection by Vishnu Smaranam. This is told in Nectar Devotion. Vishnu Smaranam. He was doing remembrance. And of course he was also chanting Nam Sankirtan. But his primary bhakti anga was Smaranam, not Kirtanam. Smaranam. So he had faith. Sudrida Vishvas. He had very determined faith that my Lord Vishnu is all-pervading, sarvakata, sarvakata sthana, that the Lord is everywhere. The Lord is in the atom, the Lord is in the sky, the Lord is in my heart, the Lord is in the ground, the Lord is in this pillar, he's everywhere. And the Haranyakashipu challenged him, where do you get your power from, Prahlad? Oh, Father, I get my power from the same person you get your power. Acha. And who is that? I get my power from Bhagavan Sri Vishnu. Oh, don't say that. What is this? That is our enemy. He killed my beloved brother. Oh, Hiranyaksha. Oh. Right? And where is your Lord? Where is your Lord, Prahlad? Because I'm going to kill you right now. Let's see what you can do about it. Your Lord is everywhere. Yes, Father, my Lord is everywhere. Well, let's see. Is he in this pillar? Dong! Ah. And I think you know the rest, right? So the fact is, for a Vishnu Bhakta, for a Krishna Bhakta, the Lord is everywhere. If I'm chanting Hare Krishna, that's all the insurance I need. I don't need any other insurance. That's a full coverage insurance policy. Bajaj. Bajaj. LIC. Full coverage. Fire, theft, disease, heart attack. Full coverage insurance. One mantra. Hare Krishna. Because my Krishna is everywhere. My Krishna is also in the pillar. So if I'm in trouble, oh, I'm in trouble. And I grab my little tabij. I hold on to my tabij. Oh, tabij. Oh, amulet, please save me. I say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I say, Krishna Krishna. And Krishna comes out of the pillar. He comes out of the steering wheel. He comes out of the water. He comes anywhere and saves me. Why do I need anything more for? Prabhupada wore a tabij? No. Bhakti Siddhanta? No. Bhakti Vinod? No. And there's a big fad in India, in ISKCON now. And the Christians have the same thing, because I grew up as a Christian. Every Christian, they go out and buy a little plastic statue. They get a little plastic statue of Jesus. Jesus Christ, he was a big saint in Christianity. They get a little plastic statue, and it has a little rubber sticky thing on the bottom. And when you get your car, you stick it in the front of the car. Boink! Like Indians put these little Shiva deities and Radha and Krishna in the front and the inside, the dashboard, it's called dashboard. So you put this plastic Jesus there. And then they have a mantra. They do a pran pratishta. Jesus pran pratishta. And they chant a mantra. Here's the mantra. I don't care if it rains or freezes, long as I got my plastic Jesus. So if it rains, freezes means barf. You say barf? Barf means ice, right? Barf. So too much barf, jada barf, tanda, jada tanda, and hawa. I don't care if it rains or freezes, rain, cold. I have my plastic Jesus. He will protect me. That's the same bogus idea. Hare Krishna. Krishna's not good enough? I thought Krishna, we just read, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, he's Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, he's Sarva Avatari, Sarva Amshi, Rasa Maya. What more I need? How much more you need? isn't it? If you want to wear something around your neck, if you want to wear something around your neck, then follow the Mahajans, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami. He says, wear the shloka around your neck. Trinadapi suniche naturoiv. He says, wear this around your neck like a kanti mala. This should be our mala. What more do you need? Konteya pratijani name bhakti prinashiti. Did Arjuna have a tabij? Hanuman. Did Hanuman have one? He had his tabij was his. He didn't need any. So it's like this. So now, what I was saying before I got on my tangent. The point is that some great devotees, they carry a tabij of Brajaraj. Because when they die, they think, okay, the Brajaraj is on me. That's nice. I'll be burned with Brajaraj. It's just nice. I want to carry a little bit of Vrindavan around my neck. So they have a little container with Brajaraj. That's very nice. From Rasastali or from Mahapurus, Janamstan, Yogapit, etc. But the main thing is all this dust should be sprinkled in our hearts. Everything is internal. Gaudiya Bhajan is Rahasya. That's why it says Bhajan Rahasyam. Gaudiya Bhajan is all internal. It's not external. And there's countless examples of that. Prem Bhakti Chandrika explains the nature of love. Love is something very private, very secret. The gopis' love is very secret. That's why they're called gopis. Gopi, gop. The word gopi comes from goop. Goop, G-O-P. Goop doesn't mean like a bunch of glue. Goop. A bunch of glue or paste. Goop means secret. Goop. And then we get the word gupta, and we get the word gufa. Gufa, gufa. Gufa means cave. Gufa. Goop. Goop means secret, hidden. Hidden, secret, private, unknown, unseen. So that personality that conceals their love, conceals, hides their love deep in the core of their heart is known as a gopi. So the gopi's love is very hidden, very secret. So this is Gaudiya Bhajan. It's very hidden. So we don't have to show anything with 50,000 neck beads and tabij and everything. It's simple, simple living. You see, the most advanced devotees of the Lord, they appear very simple. Have you ever had the opportunity to meet you meet the very advanced devotees, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. That's a speciality of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. You can't figure out who they are. Because they live in a very simple way. And if you get some idea they're very advanced, and you go to approach them, they serve you, they cook for you, they clean for you, they offer you so many things, and you say, wait a minute, this person is so humble, so submissive, so saral, so simple. And you say he's this, that, the other thing. I couldn't see anything. There's no show, no fanfare, no show. So then we go away. Oh, if there's no big show, then there's nothing. You can't judge a book by its cover. So we are talking about the dust particles that we want the dust of the feet of Radharani to ornament our limbs, to be our bhushana, anga bhushana. It's called anga bhushana, shariranga bhushana, to be the ornament, decoration for our body, the limbs of our body. And then Uddhava is cited here. Krishna's Priya Bhakta Uddhava. He desired to attain a particle of the dust of Radharani's feet by taking birth as a blade of grass, Gomalata Oshadinam. He said, Vrindavanate Gomalata Oshadinam. He is saying in 10th Canto of Bhagavatam, he says, oh my dear Radharani, or oh my dear gopis, please bless me that in the future I can charnarenu, asamaho charnarenu jusamahamsyam. He said that, please, I just want to be charnarenu, just some dust from your feet, if you can give that to me. And I'm willing to take another birth, Vrindavane kim gomalata oshadinam. I'm willing to take a birth in Vrindavan as a gomalata, an oshadi, a medicinal plant, an herbal plant. And maybe you'll walk by here and there and some dust from your feet will fly on me and I'll get benedicted. He's praying like that. Such a longing of the heart will only be fulfilled by remembering Sri Kishori's foot dust, which lies upon the pathways of Braj. So we have to transfer these prayers and statements of the Acharyas, Mahajan Acharyas, into our own life, that somehow or other it's Kartik month, and Radharani is Kartiki Devi. She's Urjeshri, Kartiki Devi. And this is the Radhadamodar month, the month of worshipping Radhadamodar. Krishna says in Mathura Mahatmyam, Rupa Goswami is saying, that in other places, if someone observes the Brat, Kartik Brat, then he can easily attain bhukti or mukti. It is given to him, because the Lord is pleased by any performance of this Brat. But if someone comes to Braj Mandal, there's something very special. He says, Hari Bhakti Sadurla Labhyate. That which is very rare and difficult to attain, Hari Bhakti, pure devotion to Hari, pure bhakti, can easily be attained by observing Kartik Brat and Braj Mandal. So somehow or other, by the causeless mercy of Guru and Gauranga, we've been able to come here to visit this Brajadam during Kartik. And everywhere, especially at Radhakund, this is a private Leela Stali of Radharani. No Chandravali comes here. No Nanda Maharaj. No one comes over here. Even the closest anyone can come is her mother. The mother-in-law of Radharani is Chatila. She only gets 9 kilometers from here. As soon as she gets 9 kilometers from here, then she's intercepted by the MiGs. She's intercepted by the jet fighters. The parrots intercept her and down her plane. They down her plane in Suryakund. So she gets the idea that Radharani is supposed to be in Suryakund doing puja and she's late coming back. So let me go there. So she gets as close as 9 kilometers away. And then the parrots and everyone gives a report. Oh, Jatila. Jatila is coming. She's approaching Suryakund. Hurry, hurry, hurry. So then everyone leaves very quickly and they go to Suryakund. And Krishna goes to Kunjara, which is nearby. First Krishna goes to Kunjara, then he changes his dress. And he gets dressed as Vishwa Sharma, as a Brahmin, disguises himself. And then he and Madhumangala nonchalantly walk off to approach Suryakund and become the Purohit of Jatila and Radharani to do the Surya Puja. So no one can get within 9 kilometers of this Radhakund. It's such a private pleasure domain of Srimati Radharani. So we're walking around here, we're moving around here, and so much dust of Radharani's feet is here. So we should pray to this dust. Oh, I'm here, Oh Kishori, Oh Sri Kishori. Please, at least at one time or other during this month, may one particle of dust from your feet somehow or other fall on my head when I pay obeisances here or there. And by that contact with a particle of dust from your divine lotus feet, may I become fully and firmly eternally attached to your eternal service, once and for all. This is my solemn prayer in this Kartik month. This is my sankalpa. This is my firm resolution that I want nothing more than your eternal service. And I've come here begging for that. You say bhikshu. Bhikshu means beggar. I'm begging for that fortune, for that mercy. Please bless me. And then he's saying, then in Mora, what is this Radha Bhajan? How does one serve? One serves with his prayers, he serves with his mind, he also serves with his kara. He says, Radha Seva Kara Kara. Kara Kara, Kara means hands. I want to serve Radharani with my hands. May both my hands be engaged in the service of Radharani. How will I do that? I will string flowers into flower garlands and ornaments for Radharani. And when she's tired from her vilas, her pastimes, she'll allow me the good fortune of massaging her lotus feet. Of course, this is, there was one song years ago, it's called Dream the Impossible Dream. Dream the Impossible Dream. So this seems like an impossible dream to someday attain the service of massaging Radharani's lotus feet. But the Acharyas are giving these prayers. If this was not meant to be given, they would never write about it. If this was not meant to be revealed, or to be thought of, or to be considered, they would have never written about it. Because they're only acting on the will of the Lord. They are the ambassadors of the Lord. They are the welfare workers. They are writing and speaking on behalf of the Lord. They are directly empowered and ordered by the Lord. Yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amara agya guru hanatare desh. Amara agya, on my order, on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, Rupa Goswami and the other Goswamis are writing their books and giving their instructions and revealing their teachings and the intimacies of their teachings for us. We should think like this. We should pray like this. Yes, Radharani. When will I have the opportunity to massage your sweet lotus feet in the kunjas of Radhakund? I know it's impossible. How I have no adhikar for such a great fortune. But I can't help but be attracted to this idea. It's being offered to me. It's being presented to me. It's being described before my eyes in all these wonderful books by the Goswamis. And I'm reading them, and I'm attracted to them, and I'm interested in them. So I may be a fool, and they say fools rush in where angels dare not. So I'm one of those fools. I'm certainly not an angel. That's obvious. But I am a fool, and that's obvious. So I'm Patita Pavan. I mean Patit, and you're Pavan. You've come as Patita Pavan Avatar. You've appeared as Rasaraj Mahabhav Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I qualify. I'm most fallen. Mahapatit. Mahafallen. And I want this highest thing. I want this topmost thing of your eternal service at your lotus feet. I know I'm unqualified. I know I'm unqualified. I'm undeserving. I'm a rascal. I'm a fool. I'm stupid. I'm lazy. I'm offensive. But I want to serve your feet. And Radharani has to consider, you're quite an interesting case. You're quite an interesting case. I don't know how to sort out all your anomalies. But at any rate, you keep pestering me. You keep crying. You keep banging on my door. Seva karo, seva karo, seva karo. And all right already. Then serve my feet. Here, darshan, spurti. Spurti to come at the level of bhav. It's available. It's possible. It happens. Spurti. Then vispurti, then sakshat darshan. Then confirmation. With spurti comes confirmation of aspiration. We aspire, we pray, we meditate. Then spurti comes. Vision, revelation, acceptance from their side, from Radharani's side. And with that acceptance comes confirmation. Yes, I accept you. You are mine. We're always praying. We're from our side, we're always praying. Radharani, you're mine. Tavevasmi, tavevasmi, na jivami tvaya vina, iti vigaya radhe tvam, nayamam charanantikam. We're always saying, Radharani, I am yours, I am yours. Please accept me. I can't live without you. Please take me to your lotus feet. And she's saying, yes, yes, you're saying you're mine. But I don't know if I'm going to say that I am yours. But when confirmation comes, acceptance and confirmation from Radharani's side, then Radharani is saying, yes, I accept, I am yours. I'm yours to be served by you. The purity of your purpose, the sincerity, the intensity of your sincerity, and your hankering, your utkantita bhav, utkantita bhav, utkantita bhav, dainya bhav, laja bhav, many bhavas must be mixed together. Many bhavas, many mellows of seva, many forms and moods of surrender must be mixed together to attract the heart of Radharani. Shyness, humility. Lajabhav, Dainyabhav, then Utkantitabhav, eagerness, longing, yearning. Yes, like we say, yes, I want the eternal service of Krishna. I'm longing for that. I'm yearning for that. But I also long for so many other things. I yearn for so many other things. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. So this is mixture. This is Mishra, Mishrabhav, mixture. So he goes on to say, in the verse he's saying that Radharani's feet are Vilas Utsav. The service of Radharani is like an utsav, a festival. And she is experiencing a bhavotsav, a festival of bhava, of ecstatic moods, and her pastimes with Govinda. Sometimes when Radharani becomes sulky, she becomes contrary or manini, Govinda will come and pray to the mandaris with clever words. It's called vidagdha vachan. Oh, beautiful one. In other words, he'll come to, Krishna will come when Radharani is in a very opposing mood. She doesn't want to meet. She's upset with Krishna. She's sulking. She's pouting. It's called man. And she doesn't want to see him or look at him or speak to him. Then Krishna tries in a different way to meet Radharani. So he tries to go through the doorway of the mercy of the mandris or sakis. So he approaches them with folded hands, with this anjali. And he says, "Oh, Sundari," you know, usually when someone approaches you and they start complimenting you, then you're in trouble. Say, "Oh, you're so intelligent, you're so this, that," and you just think, "Oh, something's coming here." So then Krishna goes to the Saki and she says, "Oh, Sundari." Sundari means, "Oh, beautiful one." "Oh, Sundari." "Oh," and then he says, "Oh, Kripangi." Oh, merciful one. He says, "Please, will you satisfy Radha and then pacify my fire separation? In other words, will you please solace Radharani? Will you please cool her down? Will you please remove her anger? Somehow mollify her, pacify her, reduce her anger, make her happy again. So then my burning fire of separation from her will be extinguished, and I can again relish the joy of meeting her and receiving her service and association once again." So what does the mandri say to Krishna? What does the Sakhi say? "Upon hearing Shyam's petition, I will catch hold of his hand and lead him to Swamini, Radha. May it be the goal of my life and all good fortune to arrange for my Swamini to meet with her Prana Priyatam. Govinda will certainly give me mercy, knowing that I have taken shelter of Radha's lotus feet." So this is the mood behind this prayer, that Sakis and Mandris, they play such an intimate role because they're serving Radharani, but so much they're engaged in Krishna's service. So sometimes people say, "Oh, we just want to serve Krishna." But in Gaudiya's, our line is Radhadasyam, serving Radharani. And so much automatically we're serving Krishna by that. Because the greatest service to Krishna is to bring Radharani to him. To bring the person he likes the most and enjoys the most is Radharani. How can we directly please Krishna? Prabhupada even says this. What can we do? What can we do to please Krishna? What can we give to Krishna who has everything? How can we really serve him? We can simply assist the servants of the servants of Krishna. So this is what Radhadasya means. The greatest servant of Krishna is Radharani. So Gaudiya line, what Lord Chaitanya has come to give us, this opportunity to serve Radharani. And what a great service they're doing for Radharani and Krishna. Radharani really wants to meet with Krishna. But sometimes, to increase his happiness, she shows an unfavorable mood. And then the Sakhi Mandri, she takes Krishna. "Krishna, come on." Can you imagine? This is God, the Creator. He becomes so humble before his devotees. So then the Mandri says, "Come on, Krishna, hold my hand. I will take you. I will lead you to Swamini. I've already talked to her. I convinced her of your sincerity. I've convinced her of your sincerity. And she's given up her anger now. She's willing to accept you in her service. And she's eager to serve you and make you happy." So now the mandri comes out. "Come on, everything's okay. I pacified Radharani. Come with me." And Krishna's so happy. So how much pleasure you will give Krishna by that service. If you go to Krishna directly and say, "Oh Krishna, I want to massage your feet. I want to fan you with chamara. I want to make roti for you. I want to string a garland." Like all the things we do here for the Krishnamurti. That's okay. That's some service. But it can't match this service. Because we have a phrase, Bhaktivinoda Thakur coined this phrase, service, the value of service is judged by its necessity. Where the necessity is greater, then the service is more appreciated. For example, if you're stuck in the desert, stranded in the hot, burning desert, dying of thirst, no water for miles around, and I come with a helicopter, and I come over there flying with a helicopter, and I land there, and I bring you 50 liters of cold water, or at least 10 liters, of cold water, which is very important service, because if you don't get that service of receiving drinking water, then you'll die in a few minutes. Then that's very, very valuable service, essential, urgent service. At that time, when you need it most, and your hour of greatest need, if I serve you, you'll be very indebted to me, very grateful to me, and very appreciative of that service I've rendered. service is judged by his necessity. So Krishna has a great need. He has a great necessity to meet again with Radharani. He's burning. He's literally burning like a forest fire. Viraha Agni. Viraha Jwala or Sudipta. He's burning alive. His heart is burning. His mind is burning. His heart is... His body, everything is burning. Oh, Radharani, where is my Radharani? Hey, Radhe, Vrajadevi Kecha Lalite. Hey, Nanda Sunakuta. Where is my Radharani? Hey, Radhe. And then, he's so much suffering, so much need. What does he need? He needs to have the service of Radharani. He needs to be joined with Radharani again. Radha Milan. He needs to meet with Radharani again. Associate with her. Serve her. Receive her loving service. So if you are the agent to bring that about, how much value you will have, how much appreciation Krishna will have for you, how much gratitude he will have for you, how much love he will have for you. But if you're there just fanning him and making garlands and rolling chapatis and singing songs, Jai Hare Krishna, this, that. I mean, so many people are doing that. So there's thousands and millions of servitors. So therefore, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was discussing this point, service is judged by its necessity. He explained to some of his followers, he said, yes, actually, although it didn't happen, he said, actually, I want to spend my last days in bhajan at Kurukshetra. On the outset, Gaudiya Vaishnavas will think, this is very strange. We have Teen Prabhu and Teen Dham. The Teen Prabhu are Madan Mohan Govinda and Gopinath. And the Teen Dham are Vrindavan Dham, Navadvip Dham, and Sri Kechar Dham, or Jagannath Puri, Purushottam Dham. These are the Dhams of our Lord, our Krishna, our Chaitanya. They had Leelas there. So many Leelas. Puri, Gambira Leela, and Mayapur Leela, Shiva Sangha Milan, Sankirtan Milan. And then in Braj Leela, this is the place. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they want to do bhajan here. They want to enter samadhi here. They want to die here. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Kurukshetra? Battle of Kurukshetra? Bhagavad Gita? This seems like Aishwarya Mahibhakti. It seems like it's Vasudev Krishna with four arms. He's a Parthasarathi. The Kauravas, the Pandavas. How is it that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants to spend his last days in Nirjan Bhajan at Kurukshetra? Of course he didn't. He spent his last days in a Bhakti Kuti. Bhakti Kuti in Jagannath Puri, right within meters, a few meters away from Haridas Thakur's Samadhi in Swargadwara, in Jagannath Puri, on the ocean side. Now here's the answer. He said, at that place, Kurukshetra, Radharani, after so many years of separation, when Radharani went there during the Surya Grahan, solar eclipse, and all the Brijvasis went there, Nanda Baba, Gopas, Gopis, and Krishna came from Dwarka with Subhadra and Balaram, Rohini, Vasudev. They all went to Kurukshetra to celebrate this Surya Grahan, solar eclipse, and bathe there in the Pancha Samantaka, these five lakes over there. And then, at that time, Radharani, she has a brief meeting with Krishna after so many years. Krishna was something like 50 or 60 years old when he went to this Kurukshetra for this solar eclipse. The battle was much later, as you know. When Krishna went to Kurukshetra for the battle in Bhagavad Gita, it said that Krishna was about 90. I think so, 90 or 100 years old. Is that right? You know? Prabhupada says like that. He was 90 years old, but he looked like a young boy, Navayovanam. But this time, because Krishna went twice, as you know, Kurukshetra, it's in Krishna book, chapter 10th canto, chapter 84, Krishna and Balaram visit Kurukshetra, or 82. At that time, it was about 50 or 60 years that the gopis hadn't seen Krishna since he left Vrindavan, went to Mathura and Dwarka. And then, Bhaktivinoda is saying, Radharani will have, her necessity of serving Radharani at that moment will be so great, because Krishna promised that he would return when he left Vrindavan. He promised that he would meet her again. Now here he is at Kurukshetra. So he's meeting her, but he's in Rajavesh. Hati Gori Palaki. There's elephants there. He's in a royal dress like a king, Dwarkadish, and all kinds of royal paraphernalia. It's the same Krishna, but a different feature, different presentation. The dress, the entourage, the parishista, associates, the setting, everything is something different. No Yamuna, no Kadamba Briksh, no Kadamba Kandi, no Shuka Shadi, no Moor, no Peacock, no Moor Punk. Krishna's wearing crown, no Pagari, no turban, no Vamshi, many no's, many things missing. So she's thinking, same Krishna, but not same. And so she's thinking, oh, he came back, so I'm seeing him, but I can't really enjoy with him because this is not Vrindavan atmosphere. And I know that within a few days or minutes, he's going to leave this place and again I'll be separated. So she's feeling so much happiness to see Krishna, but so much distress knowing that this is not the same Krishna and we can't really enjoy here, although we want to. And he's going to leave in a second or a few days. So she is so much in disturbed condition. So she really needs help. She really needs some kind words, some massage or some comforting. Because it's a very distressful situation to meet your lover after 6 years separation, but then the lover is in a new feature which you don't really like or appreciate. And knowing that your lover is running away back to Dwarka, not to Vrindavan. So it's a very heart-rending situation. So if anyone who helps Radharani get over that pang, those pains at that time, their service will be very much appreciated. Service is judged by its necessity. Radharani's need at that time will be very great. She really needs some loving words and some kind comfort from her intimate sakis. So any mandris or sakis can be there and help her get over that pain of imminent separation from Krishna. They will be most appreciated by Radharani. So this was his insight into the significance of Kurukshetra Bhajan. Service is judged by its necessity. So I think we'll close there. If there's any comments. Yes. There's a way of analyzing or studying Shastra, any Shastra, Bhagavatam. There's three levels. I mean, there's actually many levels, but these are three beginning, very broad categories. It's called, you must have heard these terms in relation to nectar instruction. Adi Atmika Klesha, Adi Bhotika Klesha, Adi Daivika Klesha. Klesha means difficulties, problems, opposition, Klesh. Kleshagni, it's one of the symptoms of devotion. Shubhadan Kleshagni, that bhakti removes, creates auspiciousness and removes inauspiciousness or problems. So one can analyze a verse, you're reading some shloka. Firstly, there's the obvious appearance of the shloka is what we call the storyline. It's called Adi Bhotika. Bhotika means Panchabhuta. Bhuta means elements. Like we say, Adi Bhotika Klesha means misery caused by other entities. So Bhotika means elements also, means elements, the elements of the verse. Where is it? What is it? What's going on here? Well, this verse, this story in Bhagavatam is about this sage who said this and this and that. This sage, Maitreya is meeting, Vidura is meeting Uddhava in the third canto, and it's on the banks of the Ganges, it's in Gurgaon, and they're discussing Krishna's disappearance or whatever. That's the verse. The Nadi Daivaka means from the transcendental level. Not the demigods. Daiva means transcendental. Daivi Esha Gunamayi. Daivi Prakriti. Adi Daivika Vichar. Actually, the term is Adi Daivika Vichar. Consideration from the transcendental level. Now you look at, which is very difficult. This is what Vishwanath and others, this is Vishwanath's expertise. Looking at it from the level, what is the level from Krishna's viewpoint? What is Krishna doing with these rishis, or what is he saying here, or how is this verse or story, how is he relishing this, or how is he enjoying this, or how does this relate to him? You know, it's going like, you can take, it's almost like one level is a verse going up there. It's his level. What's in it for him? What's it all about? Like we read about Krishna and the gopis. Well, Krishna's touching the gopis and embracing them in the rasa dance. Well, that's between him and the gopis. And what are they experiencing on their level? So that's what the acharyas write about. Their moods, their meditations, their thoughts. That's the Adi Daivik. How Krishna's feeling. And then they even talk about it in the purports. It takes one to know one. They're so high, the Adi. I mean, we need their comments to understand, well, how is Krishna feeling? How is Radharani feeling? And what gopi is this? I don't know what gopi is. It doesn't say in the Bhagavatam. But then the purport says, this is Lalita speaking, this verse of 10th canto. And this is Vishakha. And this, like this. So that Adidaivika, what's from their level? The completely transcendental level, and just what for them, and it's like way beyond us, it's way happening up there. Then, which is most relevant, you could say, is the Adiatmika level. How does this story, this verse, how does it apply to me? What's in it for me? What is it teaching for me on my level? What can I draw down for me on my level? And of course, that depends on our Adhikar. If we're on a level above, we draw so much rasa, which I mentioned. Rasika Bhavuka. Rasika Bhavuka. Bhavuka. This is in first canto Bhagavatam. So this Bhagavatam is meant for them. Those that are Rasika Bhavuka, those that are Rasika Bhava Bhaktas, they can get so much rasa from the Rasa Shastra Bhagavatam. But others can get something. So these are the three levels. And this is the most important thing, is Adiatmika. Because that Daivik level is so high. And that we have to be like on a level. So the Bhagavatam, for those that are on a level of prema, prema bhaktas and bhava bhaktas, they will relish on all three levels. But so much they will relish from the Adidaivik level, because they're entering there themselves by their bhava and their prema. They're part of that circle. And those that are on a lower level, that, well, it's a story. It was a good story. Did you get anything out of it? No, but you know, he said this and he said that, and it happened over here and happened over there. Did it improve your devotion? Well, no. And generally, most devotees read like that. They just read the storyline. And generally, when they give class like that, which makes it rather boring. It's okay, but it's like storytelling class. But there's so many different levels, and the most important thing is get the message. Because all the shastras are for teaching us Sharanagati and Abhideya Tattva. They're for Abhideya. Abhideya and Prayojan. This is the sadhya, and this is the way to get there. It's called Abhideya and Prayojan. I'll take one question. Yes.
What about yesterday? Later.
Thank you for reminding me. I surrender. Yesterday, when we were a little more conscious, we tried to end the class on a little bit of a suspenseful note, because we were also discussing how mandris, there are 17 different services which mandris render, which is mentioned in Ujjala Nilamani. And one of the services that mandris render for the pleasure of Radharani specifically, and of course Krishna, you can't separate because the service is always between the two, was called duty. Duty seva. It means messenger service. So they carry messages back and forth. They carry love notes. Radha and Krishna write love notes back and forth to each other. And the couriers or the deliverers of those messages are the sakis and mandris. And sometimes sakas also. Priyanarma sakas like Subal or Madhumangal, they have opportunity also to convey letters. But the mandris are very expert in this seva. So what we read yesterday is that Jatila was very upset with Kishori, her daughter-in-law, so she kept her locked in the house. And she was fainting in separation. Shamsundar, who was denied or was not able to meet with Kishori, he had fainted in separation from Radharani. He was so overwhelmed missing her. Then Madhumangal went to Kishori, Krishna's Brahmin friend. But Radharani was under guard. She was heavily guarded by her sister-in-law Kutila and her mother Jatila in her house in Yavatgram. So she couldn't get out. So she was unable to leave the house. Knowing that Krishna was burning the fire of separation, Radharani wrote a love letter to Krishna. A very long letter. And she wrote that letter on a lotus petal. She wrote it on a petal of the paper was a lotus petal. And she wrote a long letter. The letter had two mantras. And in that letter she wrote, Ra, Da. All she did was write her own name, Ra, Da. And then she sent it with Madhumangal, I guess, it doesn't say, but she sent it back to Krishna. So I left it at that yesterday. I said, well, what happened then? And so thank you for reminding me, because you forgot and probably a few others forgot too. When Krishna received the letter, he came to his external senses, because he was unconscious. And then he said to Madhumangal, friend, I am completely satisfied with what you have given me. So that's it. I am completely satisfied with what you have given me. So now we have to say, well, what did Madhumangal give him? So I'll ask you this question. Krishna said to Madhumangal, I am completely satisfied with what you have given me. Now I'm asking all of you, what did Madhumangal give him? Did he give him a letter? Yes or no? Did he give him a letter? Yes. And what was written on that letter? Radha. So, is that all? He only gave him a letter or what? He's saying, Hamiyatma is saying that Madhumangal gave Krishna Radha. So, what do you mean by that? So, when he's saying, the devotee is saying that when Krishna received this letter with Radha Nam, then he remembered this verse. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Mukta Nityamukta Purna Shuddha Binatram Naminamano. He remembered this verse from Padma Purana. He said, yes, in the Puranas it says that the name and that which is named are non-different. So, this is Radha's name. This is Radha. Oh, Radha, Radha, Radha. Oh, Madhumangal. Oh, thank you, thank you. I'm so satisfied. I'm so happy. You've given me Radha. You put Radha inside this little leaf. You put Radharani. You did a zip drive. You put Radharani in a zip drive on your computer, a zip file, and you put her inside this little lotus, and you rolled it up, and you put it up behind your ear, and you ran down here from Yavat to the kunjas of Radhakun, and you gave me this, and I unzipped this file. Now, standing before me is Radha. Oh, I'm so satisfied. Thank you, Madhumangal. Jai, Jai, Sri Radhe. Hare Krishna.